Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another experience of Me and Paranormal You. This is your buddy, Ryan Singer. Today, we're going to have a really fun conversation with someone I'm just meeting. We're going to have another discussion about who we are, what we are, if there's more than meets the eye when it comes to, you know, some of us, if not all of us, ultimately, we're going to have this discussion of, you know, another entity, another thing, another being, another consciousness, whatever it may be that is either occupying or a part of, always has been a part of who we are, or specifically who my guest is. So I'm very excited to have Alfie join me today, aka Stoneflower. Hey, thanks for joining me today, Alfie.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I, you know, just to give people, just to kind of launch this thing off.
Yeah.
You reached out to me. There was a recent interview I did with Jessica and Oscar, and I think, you know, because I put out a call to people like, hey, I'd love to interview. Hey, if you're an alien and you're listening to this, I want to interview you. And so that I think that was also tied into what encouraged you to reach out. So I'm very glad you did. I'm very glad you heard. I'm not sure how you ultimately found the Mindcast in the first place, but I'm very glad that you did. So let's talk about your journey when it comes to embracing, and I mean, accepting seems like a strong word, but let's say embracing this reality that you're living with. Yeah. When it comes to who you are.
Yeah. You know, so I'm definitely kind of still in the midst of that process of both the embracing and the accepting. And you know, when I first heard the call that you put out, I was, you know, I was tempted to reach out and to get in touch, but I held off. And then I listened to the episode with Jessica and Oscar, and I was just like, I've been meaning to re-listen to it, but I was just like really captivated by that. And then I was listening to Jessica was on another podcast called, I think it was on Real Witches of the End Times.
And with Mothmana.
Yeah. Mothmana. Yeah. Who I had also, I think, just heard on Jessa's Patreon. And I think it was in that Jessica said that Oscar referred to himself as, said something along the lines of, you know, Jung would call me an animus. I don't know the right way to pronounce it. And it was at that moment that I was like, okay, this is something I can, you know. I was also just recently listening to your one on paranormal shame. And so the kind of, all of those feelings kind of combined to just be like, all right, I can finally just jump in on this, and reach out and not, feel too weird about it. Cause I think that we all, you know, in the process of accepting and embracing this stuff, we all, you know, feel weird, as weird as it already is, just to try to feel human. So, so where to begin? I was, you know, I'm trying to sort of figure out how to jump into this, but,
Well, while you do that, I think it's important to just kind of reinforce a couple things. You mentioned the paranormal shame, and I think you're referring most likely to the episode with Daniel Noah.
Yeah, that's right.
From Spectre Vision, who's by all people's accounts, at least in the industry of Hollywood, he is like a major player in the film industry. And so for me, that was an important interview, because that's someone who, and I think that like I don't like buying into the hierarchical structure of credibility just because someone has this job or that job that makes their story and their journey more credible than another person's. I don't think that's credible, right? Yes. I think everyone's story has credibility when they are, you know, coming forward and discussing things that are real to them that they experience in their lives. And just because we have a preconceived idea of importance or, I don't know, higher up than us in certain ways because of jobs, which to me is, you know, it's just a fundamental flaw of like our society in many ways. But I think it is important to, you know, I guess the, in one way we can measure it is, you know, who has the most to lose by coming forward? That's a way that it is measured. And I guess that ties into it. So I do understand that. But the idea of, you know, trying to figure out and not feel weird just being a human being in the first place, like you touched on just now, is very important to me. Because, I mean, right now it is, you know, with everything that's been going on in our country, you know, I have felt like extreme levels of anxiety that I've never felt before in my life. And it's been very difficult just in general to not feel like the other shoe is always going to drop or some crazy shit's going to happen constantly, just every day. At least that's my experience. And in this high level of anxiety is a new feeling for me. I've never really suffered from it. But it definitely is something that, you know, I started experiencing maybe about 2 years ago, and it's really hit its apex lately. And so I know it's not easy and comfortable to discuss a lot of these things that even further separate us from whatever this reality that we're supposed to be experiencing is right now. I mean, because it's so tenuous. So I do appreciate you being willing to do that. And I think that transition into feeling comfortable with who we really are and trying to understand who we really are and then publicly speaking about it is, you know, that's a whole nother step. Yes. So yeah, I mean, if it's easier for you just to kind of, you know, launch from a place of, this is when I first started becoming curious about what I was experiencing. I mean, that might be a good place to start.
I mean, so on some level, it started as a little kid. So I was, you know, I grew up always knowing that I was adopted as an infant. It was just a part of what I understood as my identity for as long as I can remember. And I remember being, you know, maybe, I know, I was in the woods behind my old house. So, you know, it was somewhere between, you know, being like 6 and, you know, 11. So let's say I was 9, which seems right. I remember being in the woods back there and thinking that, just conceptualizing myself as having come from, I was really into like the Narnia books as a kid. And I had never, I'd always kind of wondered about myself, but I'd never wondered that much about it in a realistic, quote unquote, realistic way. You know, I just sort of conceptualized myself as like having come into this world from like through some portal in like the woods or the ocean or something, or like as being, you know, sort of literally a space alien, even though that kind of imagery and stuff, that aesthetic conception of that didn't really resonate with me. It was just like this deep feeling of like, you come from someplace weirder than this story that you're told to tell yourself, even if on a, you know, factual 3D in the world level, that's the literal story. Just like the idea of like, we as individuals in our deepest conceptions of ourselves like come from somewhere other than just you know, kind of where we are led to understand ourselves as coming from. So I sort of like had this idea of myself as being from some of this like, you know, Tolkien-esque you know, fantasy world, and just sort of being like dropped here and raised by people here. And then as I got older, you know, I, for as long as I can remember, I've always sort of thought of myself as a writer, and that's always been what I've been going after. And I never was really trying to write sci-fi, but I was always getting these very sci-fi-ish ideas, and I, you know, sort of, they registered with me in the last 6 months or so as kind of as being something a bit more download-ish. You know, I had this thought come to me of like, you know, of like space travel as fueled by technology, the way that humans have been working on it for the last 100 years. I had this idea of that as being kind of like a shortcut. I don't have anything to compare it to right now, but as like, you know, if you walked in the right sort of weird little paths through the world, that you could, you know, just sort of end up wherever, you know, like you could walk across the ocean to Mars. I don't know. I like that's sort of a simplification, but that there were these sort of weird hidden topographies to the world we're in. And like that a bunch of dinosaurs had sailed off on a ship and they were, you know, living somewhere else on some, you know, evolving parallel to us in some other universe that was at the same time a part of our universe. And like, you know, this idea that I like this one, and this just kind of came back to me this morning as resonating differently, but this idea that of like, you know, if the world was being terraformed, what if someone was left behind on it, and everyone left on a ship, and all the people in the ship were you know, in this suspended animation, this suspended animation simulation type thing, in which their one consciousness experiences the living of thousands of generations of life, you know, what would they then, you know, feel like when they woke back up and came back down? And I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit right now, but it was just all this stuff that at the time I was just like, why? What is any of this that is coming into my head? I can't do anything with this. I don't know how to write this as a story. And then I'm getting kind of to a bit of a point, I think. In the last few years, and specifically in the last year and a half, I'd say it's all come to be something that I have started to understand differently. In the fall of 2016, I had a really serious suicide attempt that was just like very medically serious. I had had a few prior to that, but they, none of them sort of had the seriousness of that. And it was really frightening because they always kind of came out of the blue. I could register being unhappy with my life, but I never registered really as being depressed or anxious or feeling suicidal. I would register sort of suicidal ideation, but it never felt like it matched up with what I was feeling emotionally. And then, you know, I just sort of, you know, one night it just, you know, went real bad. And I'd been writing earlier in the night, and I'd been writing about how I was just sort of like trying to get, you know, trying to find a deeper understanding of myself. And I just couldn't find it anywhere I looked. And it didn't feel like those things are connected. It always, you know, the doctors never, everyone kind of would get annoyed with me because I would be like, you know, it was spontaneous. I don't understand why it happened. It sort of came out of nowhere. I'm sort of as surprised by it as anybody. And so I woke up, you know, several days later in the ICU, and you know, I really felt like in those first few moments, it was like, it was like there was this infinite amount of possibility. And it felt like I had been rebooted, and it really felt like I had died. And then, you know, all of the stuff of life kind of just started reaccumulating. The projections of ego that are projected onto us, the expectations, the selves that we're supposed to be, the limiting self-beliefs that have held us back in the past. You know, I started sort of reaccumulating those bit by bit, you know, because I've always had the kind of life where I feel a lot of expectation on me that doesn't kind of jive with the expectations I have for myself or what I even feel like a life is or what I feel like a life is meant to be. You know, kind of, you were saying this a little bit when you were talking at the start, but I lost the thought of what it was that you were saying.
Like, who are we and like, what are we and what are we, like, what is our reality here? And it's interesting because you're touching on what it sounds like the expectations of the outside world. I mean, because for me, this is multi-layered.
Yeah.
We have expectations on ourselves for what we want to be and what we want to do and how we want to exist. And then there is our idea of what we believe other people's expectations are for all those things. And then there's another layer of, in reality, what their expectations truly are.
Yeah. And then, like, the sort of at some point, the letting go of those expectations, and letting go of the internalization of those expectations. You know, so the letting go of the feeling of a need to really hold those as closely as we do, and the letting go of the sort of internalizing of that, because sort of what followed was I spent, over, you know, almost a year and a half, you know, after a couple of months sort of stabilizing out, I spent about a year and a half doing really intensive work at this this great mental health treatment center, doing like deep psychoanalytic work. And I feel like now I'm finally starting to get to the point, after a little bit of rambling, but doing deep psychoanalytic work and I was, let me see, that was, yeah, so it was sometime, so at some point, and I had never smoked a lot of weed, but at some point I just started smoking a lot of weed. And then started in a, you know, I don't know how relevant this feels, but it only feels relevant because it's part of the story. I had this experience where I felt very, where I felt like one of the people who I projected a lot of sort of that idea of having a lot of expectations on me, I had this experience where in my mind, they, even if just for a split second, it kind of opened the door, where they lost all their authority in my life. And it was just this moment of, you are free, you're open to whatever life is. And that was when I started thinking a lot about timelines and about consciousness as being the entirety of the universe, basically, which was also sort of the place I'd been in for a little while in terms of just looking at everything from a deep lens of psychoanalysis. But you know, if the universe is consciousness and is made of consciousness, then the Big Bang was the beginning of consciousness. And on the other side of that is God, for lack of a better word. I feel like I'm rambling and I hate
that. Well, I think we've got a few threads here. I think I'm following them. it's really fascinating to think about the Big Bang being the beginning of consciousness. And scientists keep telling us that, and for the record, when I say it like that, that doesn't mean I don't believe them. For anybody who's conspiratorial minded, that the universe is constantly expanding.
Right.
So when framed with in the context of it being consciousness, that's exciting and fascinating to me to think about consciousness constantly expanding. And if we all are connected to that, you know, what does that mean for us individually? And I think what we're witnessing in general, at least in our small corner of the weirdo world, right, is we are constantly being open to new ideas about what our reality might be, about who we are inside and outside. And these new terms, we're constantly evolving in a way of our thought process about, you know, what does it mean to be alive? And in this, so this expansion of the universe for many of us includes the expansion of our consciousness, and therefore trickles down to the expansion of the way we believe we exist in this world. And just because some people might think it's a crazy idea, it doesn't mean it's not true. And I think that kind of boils down to like a lot of like what the quote unquote paranormal world is about. And, you know, it's a deeply personal story you're telling us. And so I understand when it comes to, I mean, you think you're rambling, but I assure you, you're simply sharing. You're right. And it's in, you know, and it's a generous offering on your part. So I wouldn't worry about that anymore. Especially when it comes to something so deeply personal about, I mean, because the, I can see why you're a writer. I mean, it's the idea of starting with the adoption and feeling, you know, and with that comes the inherent questions of who am I?
Right.
And you're living in a world where you don't necessarily know who you are, even though you're around the people who are telling you, you are ours.
Right.
Or this is who you are. And so there's a fundamental disconnect that can happen. And which is so interesting to me that we are these conscious beings, right? And I feel like we tap more and more into the idea of our consciousness, and then there's ego and all this other stuff. But the biological anchor,
yeah,
that so many of us, you know, all of us probably have to our basic core identity is really exists in, well, who did I come from?
Right.
And when there's a disconnect there on a fundamental level, at least in the way we currently are thinking about, you know, who we are,
yeah,
that can lead to, you know, and you talked about like this Tolkien-esque and, you know, in Narnia and things like that. So, and coming from a different place, it makes sense to me that that would exist. I mean, because I think people even who know who their parents are have that same experience. Like, well, where did I really come from? So it makes sense to me when you're saying these things. And the idea, too, is like it seems to me that you've been on this journey ever since, you know, you were very young. You go through a period where, like you said, this spontaneous desire to take your own life.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to figure out, and you said it frustrated doctors, or, you know, it's like, well, where did it come from? There has to be a reason. What's the reason why what made you so sad that you wanted to do this? Please tell us exactly why A plus B equals C. Please tell us, you know, we need to know, we need to connect these dots. And for you, it's like, it's not that easy, man. It's,
right.
I don't know where this is coming from. So with that unknown comes confusion. And many questions, right?
Yeah, and one other thing, just to add on to what you were just saying about the adoption angle, is that I did meet and get to know my birth family, and they're wonderful people, and I got to see a lot of myself in them, and a lot of them in me, but in the same way that I see a lot of myself in the family that I grew up with, and see a lot of them in me. It, you know, it's this kind of thing where you expect to find a piece that'll make the puzzle suddenly make sense. And I felt, you know, as great as that's been, I felt even less anchored, because it was this thing of the answer's not there either. And so that also contributed to sort of this feeling of like, well, there must be something internal in each of us beyond nature or nurture, or combining nature and nurture or whatever. There must be, you know, 'cause I've always had a hard, I was raised Catholic, but I've always had a hard time believing in the soul as it's conceptualized to us. But it was finally this thing of like, okay, there must be this consciousness that includes, but is not limited to our experience of this life.
Yeah. Wow. I'm thinking of so many things right now when you say that. You know, like the nature versus nurture thing, that's just been embedded in my brain as like, well, it's nature versus nurture. I watched this movie last night called Gemini Man.
Yeah.
And starring Will Smith and young Will Smith.
Yeah.
And you know, and it touches on these themes about nature versus nurture. And I mean, that's what basically the whole movie is about. Right. You know, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it. You know, it's an enjoyable action film, but what if there's more to that? There's nature, there's nurture, and the supernature maybe.
Yeah.
Is maybe this other concept that I've never thought about before until now.
Yeah. So the way I kind of think of it is that it's like a supernature, but it's also, this is the consciousness that we're experiencing right now. So we're able to drive that, you know, it's like the expansion of the universe, like we're talking about, that, that we, with our consciousness and with our choices, can kind of direct that expansion almost. So the way I sort of came to think of it is that, okay, so like, if there is, I'm still working on wrapping my head around this, but it somehow, you know, somewhere in the mix of all of this is all of, you know, Noah Lampert, as who, you know, you've done a lot of great podcasts with, talks a lot about how we are all of these scriptural beings. You know, we're Jesus, we're the Greek gods, we're aliens, we're et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that those are all us. And so the way that I've kind of come to conceptualize it is that we as individuals experiencing our lives right now exist somewhere on a continuum of a series of choices and a series of decisions. And like, really my whole thing, my whole understanding of everything kind of hinges on timelines in a pretty major way. In the sense of like, I kind of see the big, and I really connect timelines with choices. You know, I sort of see the Big Bang as being, you know, the question was asked yes or no, and the universe consciousness chose yes, and everything sort of went from there. And so I sort of see the whole thing as like, you know, if I made a decision whenever, or if life had gone differently in some way, whenever, 5 minutes ago, 10 years ago, whatever, that branched off into a different timeline. That's not the timeline I'm experiencing right now. However, that is a timeline that still exists somewhere. And we are like, you know, in terms of our relation to the whatever, soul consciousness, root consciousness, as Oscar put it, our relation to that is like we're you know, facets of a crystal, and that whole crystal is just a facet to, you know, to another crystal, in this whole big sort of like extra dimensional spiraling kind of way. But one really cool thing is that, you know, I've never really known kind of what sort of dogmas to run my life by. We're obviously given a bunch, but the golden rule always really worked well for me. I always liked it. It always made sense. And it's a way of, you know, understanding the idea that everyone else is ourselves, and being able to, you know, engage ethically with that, without needing to like think too much about it, although we certainly can. And then another one that came to me as I was thinking about, you know, this idea that, that in some parallel thing, I'm living whatever different life I'm living right now, you know, the one where I, you know, was nervous and canceled this podcast, you know, whatever, that we're living both of those, that we're living all of those, and we can kind of interact with them. And the idea that I got that to sort of follow up on the golden rule thing is the idea that, that a rising tide lifts all boats, you know, just like really believing that energetically. And, you know, it's just like this thing of, even if we are living our worst lives in some alternate dimension, that we just by making the choice that feels best to us and feels most in line with what we think and what we believe in, that we can not only lift ourselves and, you know, and the other people that we're around in our day-to-day lives, we can not only lift our energy and their energy, but we can also lift our own energy in all of those sort of other iterations of this life, just by, you know, bringing that good, not to be all sort of, you know, love and lighty, but like, you know, by doing that, we can raise that energy and therefore raise the energy of our whole, the entirety of our consciousness crystal, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, when you think about the connectivity of everything.
Yeah.
So it's like the master volume, you know, that can raise everything, that instead of going to each individual component and turning the knob.
Right.
You know, every knob is the master volume, I guess, in some way. It's,
yeah.
I'm interested too about something you touched on after you met your birth family, mm-hmm. and how the puzzle wasn't completed. I think this touches on something that I've come to, you know, I didn't have to like make myself embrace it, I guess, as much as I just kind of naturally came to the embracing of it. But the idea that, I mean, cause I want answers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like everybody else, and you know, I'm dogged in my pursuit of answers of the unknown. And the one thing that I've had to learn is, you know, experiencing the joy in finding an answer that only spawns more questions. Then, so it's almost like a, you know, it's like it branches out. Every time you get to the part of the branch where you think you can see everything clearly, now there's two or three or limitless more branches that you have to walk out on.
Yeah.
And these new questions that arise. And it sounds like that's something that you're kind of touching on when it came to the experience you had when you had that moment. That was, you know, it sounds like, you know, in your mind, it may have been what you were wanting to be, like a watershed moment, right? Where, yeah. Okay, now this is going to shine light on everything that I needed to know, and everything's going to make sense. And then, and I'm interested about what happens to us when we have those moments and we don't get, or we don't receive exactly what we were hoping for. And then, like you said, what choice do we make then?
Yeah.
For our timeline? And I think those are like the really critical moments when we could frame them as maybe, I mean, I think some people might think of them as disappointment, in a large way. And how do we handle that? And where do we move on from there? Because I think we have a clear choice about being discouraged and, you know, maybe moving into what we could call darkness.
Yeah.
or it could inspire us to reinvigorate our search in other ways. And that's what I'm trying to embrace, the joy of understanding I will never know the answers to all the questions that I don't even know I have yet.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, and you know, at the time, I kind of wasn't wrapping my head around this, but like, for me, it's kind of just this sort of retroactive approach of it being one more thing to one more thing on which I can like let go of expectation. You know, just from that Buddhist standpoint of, you know, expectation is one of, you know, attachment to an expectation of how something's going to go and what is then going to happen as a result. You know, that's one of the root causes of suffering. You know, it's just a way of looking back and being like, I was attached to the idea that I would find them, and in finding them, I would find myself. But I found them, and rather than feeling more at home in my life, I felt less at home in my life because it was just one more place where I thought I would find a sense of oh, here's what where I fit, and I didn't. Not that I didn't, but like not in the way that I, you know, that I expected, because there was still this sort of divide of having had a completely different life. And so I'm going to try not to lose this thought. In that happening, you know, that kind of just like steered me toward being able to, and it's tough because like, I just like, it's so much happening all at once. But like in not finding that, I was given the opportunity to continue searching. You know, I was just, I had been looking for, you know, that was just one more place where I was looking for something external to tell me who I am. And the external can't tell us who we are. So I'm feeling, so like at the beginning of us talking, we were talking a little bit about like the sort of dichotomy between, you know, Alfie Stoneflower, whatever. I'd like to, I don't know exactly what will happen, but I'd like to sort of like take a step back from my like personal selfhood thing and just like riff kind of away from that and into the Stoneflower thing.
Yeah, because I think this is a good spot for that, because what I'm hearing is, you know, searching for answers, you're on a quest to find out who you are and thinking this answer will, you know, bring clarity. You get to this, you know, the apex of your quest and the answers are not there. And what could be framed as disappointment ultimately doesn't lead to disappointment in the long run. Once you have like distance from it, you realize, oh, this really opened up my quest. The real quest has now started. And now the real journey about searching and finding the reality and the truth of what I'm experiencing has now been shown to me. It kind of feels like that might be kind of what's happening if I'm on track at all when it comes to the
opening up, and we were talking about this earlier, but the opening up of an answer into another question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when it comes to understanding and now being on this different quest or this different journey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions for you and, you know, and also for other people, I guess, who are listening. But, you know, and maybe it has its origin from when you're a 9-year-old in the woods, right? And, you know, so this journey has been one you've been on the whole time, whether you realized it or not.
Yeah.
But when it comes to understanding this other, I mean, I don't even know how you personally frame it as this, you know, a connection to another consciousness, or it's in your consciousness, but from a place that is other.
Yes, it is not in my consciousness. I am in its consciousness, and therefore both. But yeah, I understand myself as an expression of it.
And this consciousness that we're referring to would be called Alfie.
Alfie is an expression of Stoneflower.
Of Stoneflower. Okay. Got it. So Stoneflower is what we'll refer to, or what you refer to as this other consciousness that your consciousness is inside of, just so people listening can follow our conversation.
Yes, it's the crystal that I am a facet of.
Okay, cool. And I'm curious about the introduction to, I mean, it is interesting. Like sometimes we don't feel like we know someone until we know their name.
Yes.
So I'm curious how that comes about.
The name?
Yeah, or how you quote unquote meet.
Yeah. So
formally.
Yes. So when I was in the mental hospital, I was painting a lot, and I painted a tarot card of the Fool, and it was this tall, green, bearded being. It was kind of Muppet-like, but it was this tall, green, bearded, sort of, you know, long, reddish blonde hair and beard and a big open third eye. And it had an anchor around its neck as a necklace on a chain. And I didn't think much of it, but I just held on to it for a while. And I later had not thought much of it, had just sort of held on to it as something in my head. And then last fall, I heard the word Stoneflower. I saw the word Stoneflower, and it's a funny place for this, but I have always been a big fan of the band Vampire Weekend, and they've gotten sort of into the whole, they've taken a jammy turn with their latest album, and they have a song called Sunflower that I really like from their last album. And I was looking at live recordings, and I had seen them in concert last fall. And they, that one, after it's over, that song, they take it into a much, much, much longer jam. And it's a whole different thing. And they call that on the bootleg recordings, they call that Stoneflower. And I saw that, and I just, it felt like that was me telling myself my own name from that standpoint.
Oh, that's really cool. There's,
feels like a jam. This feels so silly, but it feels like a jam on everything is just a jam on one's own existence. Yeah, we're all just, you know, this is the expression of something, and we're all just improvising and riffing and jamming on ourselves. And it's always a little different.
I love that. And I'm trying to remember which book, if it was Michael Newton. I think it was Michael Newton's book, Life Between Lives, where they talk about when we choose in between lives, and this is on that reincarnation tip, you know, like,
yeah,
like when we're in the in-between space, we make choices with other people from our soul group or soul cluster or whoever, and we pick signposts or markers, signals to... Wow. That once we're alive in the next life, we know that when this thing happens, or when we see this particular thing or hear this particular thing, that is one of our signposts, like, hey, pay attention right now, because this is a message from your, you know, consciousness, your soul, whatever people want to call it, letting you know that this is an important moment for you to have some insight or to make a connection. So I love that it is, you know, and Daniel Noah and I spoke about, you know, higher consciousness or entities communicating with an intelligence that knows how to specifically communicate with each individual to have resonance.
Yes.
And it feels like this is that for you, this particular thing, when you see Stoneflower.
Yes. Yeah, we leave ourselves breadcrumbs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, it, you know, it's just kind of, it's something that, from my perspective, it's a name that means something to me. I've thought a lot on it and can find other meanings, but the way I see it is that it's just sort of a, almost like a nickname. That it's almost like a nickname. So I don't know necessarily whether there's any deeper thing that resonates with other people, but it's just a way of wrapping my head around this thing and putting a name on it.
So now you have a name, and does this open the flow of communication in a more clear way for you once this happens? Or is that even the right way to say it? Communication.
I think so. It feels more, sometimes it's communicative. Sometimes it's just experiential. It honestly set me down this path that to some degree culminated in today, and has turned into something new today, because, you know, with there's such a, I don't, you know, I think that to some degree, obviously that this has existed for such a long time, but with social media and podcasts and everything, there is such a burgeoning of people wanting to exploit themselves through these experiences and exploit their deeper selves through these experiences, and to commodify and to careerify, like we're all so trained to do. You know, there's this drive, there's this, at least for myself, one of the demons on my shoulder is American capitalism. And the path that finding that name set me down, it honestly set me back a little bit in terms of my understanding and in terms of my communication, because I was like, how do I overcome this shame, this paranormal shame that we talked about? How do I use this? You know, it's like we're always trying to capture God, and having a name for it combined with having an image in my head for it, I was trying to figure out how to translate that into something else, how to translate that into something else for Alfie, how to corral it. And finally today, and I was having a lot of anxiety about coming on this podcast, because there was this drive in my head to use this as an opportunity, as a launch pad, as whatever. And I think finding that name and finding that face to apply to this, it presented a new challenge to me, because it made me want to turn that into something that I could use. And I finally, you know, as this moment was approaching, I was like, no, I'm not doing that, because I think it's very important. You know, if consciousness is the basis of reality, we're always, you know, we're always spreading our consciousness is so thin these days, and we've got so much coming into them, and there's so much opportunity to put stuff out from them. And so I finally, before this, had this really sort of revelatory moment of like, just stop doing that. Stop trying to figure out how to do that. And I had made, you know, I had set up a Patreon, and I had set up a hosting platform for starting my own podcast, and I had started an Instagram, and I started a Twitter account. And that, those are all things that I've always had a really hard time with before any of this started. It's just something that I had a hard time with in my life as a writer, was, you know, this balance between the divine creative act and the imposed need to commodify it and to market and all of that. And I think that finding the name and combining it with a face presented me with the initial challenge of how do you overcome this need to you know, turn it into Mickey Mouse, you know, to take Thor, the metaphor, you know, this is an analogy, but to take Thor, and the mythical figure, and or the pro, you know, whatever proto Thor was, and not turn it into Marvel Thor, you know, no offense to Marvel, but how to not do all of that, how to not turn, just all of this, especially with all these stories about, you know, there's so many adopted figures in all of our myths, from Moses to Kal-El, how to not do that and to not sell myself down the river. I rambled a bit there, but it was something that's very freshly on my mind and that's new as of now. And it presented me with one more question to answer and then find the new question in.
Yeah, that's a struggle for me as well when it comes to commodifying or careerifying things. And you know, it's a conversation I have with people that are close to me on a pretty regular basis. And inherently, I know deep inside that it's not for me to, you know, Instagram live or put on my stories like every moment of my life.
Yeah.
And some people find themselves, you know, wanting to do that. I feel suffocated.
Yes.
If I can't have something for me, you know, something in my life. And then the other side of that is, you know, am I just, you know, is it because I'm feeling like, you know, for lack of a better term, like I'm whoring myself out, you know, just for clicks and views and et cetera, et cetera. And so it's the conversation about, you know, knowing your worth.
Yes.
Comes up a lot for me with certain people in my life. But I think what's more interesting in our conversation here for people, I mean, because I think everybody understands the inherent battle between that goes inside of all of us in this regard. What I'm more curious about is the journey that happens, you know, with, you know, cause you're faced with these obstacles and, you know, you're challenging yourself with these questions. And on the other side of it, what does it mean? Because like you said, you know, it's always, you're making a choice, right? So when you make the choice here in this particular case, it kind of sounds like it's the choice to settle into, you know, having a better understanding of the relationship with Stoneflower, between Alfie and Stoneflower, and what does it mean, and what insights are to be gleaned, and or what lessons to be learned, or what knowledge to be gained, as opposed to how can this pay my rent?
Yes. Yeah, I feel like what I'm learning is how to, and this is something that I never knew how to do. So, you know, maybe for everyone, there's their own purpose behind all this and their own journey that they're on. But for me, it was about learning how to, it feels like it's about learning how to more comfortably inhabit my human life, and to more, to live that better. You know, it feels like the more I get to understand about this self, this larger self, the lessons I learn from it, the ones that really stick and the ones that feel meaningful and the ones that make a difference to me are the ones that teach me how to just more comfortably inhabit myself as an individual on this plane, while knowing that we're so much more than that, just internalizing those lessons to better and more comfortably live here, and to not be too focused on what does it, to always be asking the questions of what does it all mean, but to not be too focused on the answers for answers' sake so much as answers for our sakes and for the sakes of the people we care about and share this world with.
It's a beautiful idea too, and to have answers for our sake as opposed to just being like able to check off another box, right? Like, oh, got that one, got that answer, like tallying answers and feeling productive or how, because that's where we're, you talked about it earlier, you know, like the demon of capitalism on your shoulder. And trust me, I feel you on that one.
Yeah.
And we are in a production driven society where if you're not being productive, you're not useful. And, you know, and a lot of people, unfortunately, don't take a step back and say, where is our definition of productive coming from? And once examined, it can be harrowing, you know, for certain people to understand, okay, well, this is how I've measured my success and my self-worth all these years.
Yeah.
I'm also curious if someone's listening and they want to know, like, is Stoneflower, you know, are we all, a crystal, a fragment of a crystal of Stoneflower, or are there other Stoneflowers, you know, maybe by different names?
Yeah, I think that everybody is a part of, everybody is an extension of something like that. Or I don't know the structure of everyone's universe. I think that everyone is either an extension of something like that or is a newly born thing like that, that other, you know, lives will be extensions of. I think that many of us can be extensions of this one singular thing. I see it in a very like sort of I see it very much like the conventional understanding of reincarnation, except that it doesn't need to be on some chronological timeline. You know, we can pop up one and then pop up 1,000 years earlier and then pop up 1,000,000 years later and then pop up at the same time as another. What, you know, so I don't know if I think that we all are expressions of our greater consciousness, which are all in that same way expressions of their own greater consciousness. Stoneflower feels like a specific thing to me. When I was thinking of it's like when I ask, you know, when I try to see, to understand them in the conventional way that we understand aliens, or even in the new conventional way that we understand aliens in terms of extra dimensionality, et cetera. You know, when I ask him about that, he's like, I'm, you know, and this obviously has its parallels to my own story in this life, which is why I have a hard time saying whether it's something that applies to others or if it's something strictly to me. But, you know, when I asked like sort of where he came from, you know, he basically said that he came from somewhere else, but that he, for lack of a better way of putting it, went native. Whether that was a decision of his, you know, it seems like that was something that he fought for a long time and then accepted his life. You know, he says he's from Earth, but that he's not from Earth. And there, you know, Atlantis is somewhere in there, but I don't know the deal with all that. But I think that, or I mean, I have thoughts on that, but I don't want to take myself down too much of a tangent. But I think that everyone has all of their answers within themselves, and everyone, it's just a matter of shearing away all of the recognizing artificial bullshit as artificial bullshit, and being able to like look at ourselves free of all of that, if even only a little bit. And any chance we get to do that, any chance we get to look at ourselves and not have it be filtered by our families or our friends or our careers or our partners or whatever, you give yourself a little bit of an opportunity to just get to know that self a little bit better. Any chance you take to try to just look yourself in the eye differently, look yourself in the eye without thinking, how are those other people going to look at what I'm looking at, and just look at yourself. Every time you can do that, you give yourself the chance to get to know that thing a little bit better.
That's really cool. So Stoneflower is, I, at least for the purposes of, you know, having communications and things like that, he is in fact existing, kind of. I guess my question is he physically existing somewhere, like in whether it's the form of the painting, you know, in that kind of form, or otherwise? It might seem like a simple question, but I guess it's just kind of like on my mind, like, oh, so is he hanging out somewhere?
I think so. I think I see him as having physical existence in some, you know, in some universe where he is just, I see him as just sort of, I see him as like a Tom Bombadil kind of figure.
I need a little clarification on Tom Bombadil.
That's this guy who, was it in, I don't remember if it was in, I think it was in The Lord of the Rings, not The Hobbit, but he was just this, you know, that they're just traveling through the forest and they come across this dude, and he's wearing, you know, whatever, like a rain jacket and galoshes or something. And he like sings a goofy song, and he has this like beautiful wife who's like a, whatever, I don't know if it's his wife, I don't know if that's the right term, but he's just like in Tolkien's whole sort of legendarium, he's just like this weird goofy dude who like kind of won't give a straight answer as to how he relates to the rest of the mythology, and kind of just like chills through space and time, and he's like, I've been here for as long as there's been a here. you know, I think it's just like the like, you know, it's just like the goofy frolicking spirit in all of us that kind of like it predates our conception of anything, and will outlive our conception of anything. So it's
well, that is pretty interesting. I'm kind of getting a little bit of imagery of, or a sense of, it's almost got some, he also seems to have a little bit of the trickster element to him. And he's on the float, you know, he's just out there on the float, and you know, maybe will come into focus for people when they come across him or make contact with him. But it's like that old saying, like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a noise? It's like if, you know, if no one passes Stoneflower out there on the float, does he even have a form? I suppose is kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, just sort of like my own little internal young Santa Claus.
Oh, I love that imagery. Now we're gonna put a bow on this.
Yeah.
For now, I think we need to revisit this conversation, and we can get more in depth now that like a lot of the groundwork and framework has been laid down. But
I've started to get over some of my initial nerves. So hopefully, if we talk in the future, I'll be able to to keep it all together a little bit better.
Well, I think you did great. I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Appreciate it.
So if I'm trying to think like a good way to kind of, I think for me, since, you know, it's my hope that this could be a continuing conversation for me, instead of being like, okay, so in summation, you know, I don't want it to be like that. I guess this is a question that's been in my mind here for the last few minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what was the last thing you asked Stoneflower? If you remember.
So I don't know what the last thing I asked was, but the last answer, and I don't remember how I asked it, but the answer I received was the answer I received was to refocus on, was just to recenter the self, to not disperse myself so much, and to refocus on the, what is immediately around you or around me, at least to refocus on what I am experiencing directly in my life, as opposed to things on TV and stuff like that, to just like really recenter on what I can see and feel using my sensory perception and the people who are in my life, you know, focusing on that, and just like really building the energy within that it's easier to build the big energy in a more tight, condensed way, in a way that like is kept close, as opposed to trying to build energy in a really dispersed way. You know, just like really focusing on what's around me and what's happening in my moment and in my life, as opposed to you know, just remembering that everything coming to you in a sensory way is like in some way, shape, or form a message from yourself, and that anything you but that anything you send out, you're then sending it out. So to just like keep it tight. I think the there's a Buddhist thing of like to hold things tightly, but not too tightly, and also to hold things loosely and not too loosely. And just to sort of do that with grounding myself. Imagine, I'm not going to keep going too long because I could forever. but I had this thought maybe a month ago of an alternate universe where Y2K had happened and we didn't have any of we weren't living in this telecommunications world that we're living in right now. And just like there's a part of us that can still exist in the present and in this like crazy futuristic world that we're living in, while also living in the kind of world that we've lived in for thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of years, where we are just like existing with the people and creatures and earth around us and living in the world that we're in, and not this like mega world that gets projected onto all of us. So for me, that's the focus. There's obviously a lot going on in the mega world. And I think it's, you know, important to be, you know, to do everything that we need to do. And to, you know, obviously be cognizant of what's going on. But I think that what's important is to reground ourselves in ourselves, and to sort of just re-solidify ourselves as existing in this little sphere that we all live in experientially is so much bigger than we let ourselves see and feel, because we are so focused on the big sphere that we're told is the important part, and we lose sight of ourselves and our own existences in that.
Indeed. And it goes back to me, to, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. And I think the word change in that sentiment can be lots of different words.
Yeah.
You know, be the love you want to see in the world, be the light, you know, be the change, you know, be the positivity,
yes,
be the forgiveness,
yeah,
that you want to see in the world. And it's a micro level thing. And I think some people they get overwhelmed by the mega world, as you call it, and don't feel like anything they do makes a difference, when in fact, you know, it does in ways that we'll never even understand.
Yeah.
You know, down the line. So like that butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really fascinating, insightful, interesting stuff. And I'm glad that, you know, you reached out and that we had the conversation, the first of, you know, what I imagine could be many conversations. And yeah, 'cause there's a lot it seems like there's so much more that we could go into. And, you know, and specifically, you know, in more Stoneflower centric questions, I suppose. But I know we talked about like the demon of capitalism and all these kinds of things. But yeah. is there anywhere, you know, out there that let's say by chance that if someone was listening to this and something deeply resonated and they wanted to reach out to you with maybe a question or, you know, a thought or something, we could give them your information to do that now or maybe the next time. So whatever you're comfortable with.
Absolutely. People could shoot me an email at stoneflower2021. That's just stoneflower2021@gmail.com. And I'm also, I think I'm going to start a tiny letter, which will just be a free, you know, I don't know what exactly I'll do on it, but it'll just be a sort of, you know, little email newsletter thing. And that I don't have anything on there yet.
Okay, so I had a power outage over here at my family's house where I'm currently staying, so I don't know when the power is going to come back on. I'm running on battery right now on the laptop to be able to record this, but So make sure you reach out to Alfie at stoneflower2021@gmail.com if you have any questions or you just want to reach out and touch base in any way. So that was a fun chat. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I sure did. I'm looking forward to revisiting that conversation and continuing it and seeing what else, what other things we can chat about, which there's a bunch. So thanks again to the patrons, patreon.com/Ryan Singer. That is the Patreon, $1 or $3 a month. I posted a short video of me hiking through Cumberland Falls just recently. There was a link for Jim Perry's Night Drift. That is his patron-only show that I was co-hosted, so people got some got to jump on there. I believe that was last week as well. So, yeah, looking forward to posting some more stuff over there, over on the Patreon page. $1 or $3 a month. That's it. That's the, I mean, talk about bargain. That's a bargain deal. So, thank you for supporting the Mindcast, especially right now. So, thank you very much. And don't forget to get out there and vote. It's very important. And if you're listening to this post-election, I hope you voted. Thanks for doing your part. And, you know, you can be the change you want to see in the world. No small act of kindness and or responsibility or exercising of your rights is worthless or not worth it, I should say. So get out there and do your part. Participate. Be active in what's happening around us. I hope you're doing okay. I love you. I hope you love yourself. We need to be taking care of ourselves. I've been having extreme anxiety, you know, these last 7 months. So I get it. You know, try to do some meditation, ground yourself, do the things you need to do to self-care. It's very important right now. And don't judge yourself for it. Don't judge yourself for feeling unbalanced. Don't judge yourself for seeking help in any kind of way. Every day should be Suicide Prevention Day. So if you need help, please reach out to someone and let them know the thoughts you're having. Yeah, so I'm at Go Bananas Comedy Club this weekend, Friday and Saturday, October 9th and 10th in the parking lot. One show Friday, one show Saturday. Go Bananas Comedy Club. It's an outdoor parking lot show. Wear a mask. Bring a blanket, wear a jacket. I can't wait to be on stage for the first time in 7 months. So this is going to be exciting and very interesting, to say the least. 7 months, man. Talk about getting back on the saddle. Okay, I hope to see you at that show or one of those shows this weekend. If not, I'll see you at the watering hole on the astral plane.